After David Foster Wallace's death in 2008, reports started emerging about a final, unfinished novel. It was found in Wallace's garage and workspace in Claremont, California. The novel is called The Pale King. Journalist D.T. Max wrote about Wallace's creative struggles with The Pale King in The New Yorker. He told Steve Paulson that the novel explored a longtime preoccupation for Wallace: boredom.
Its real subject is how we can live a fulfilled life without excessive stimulation, or how we can sort of break through our idea of what boredom is to find contentment and mindfulness. He centers the book on a group of IRS agents working at an IRS center in Peoria, Illinois.
And he was going to do this whole big novel on the subject of boredom.
Yeah, I mean, he more than was going to. I mean, he had it. It's hard to know exactly how far he got, but he had the book very well underway at the time of his death. I mean, I imagine he'd written a draft, and there were many parts of the book that I think he'd written and rewritten over and over, which was his style of composition. I think that what he had hoped for, which he may not quite have gotten finished, was to put all of these, he basically created these portraits of these IRS agents, each of whom had a sort of different relationship to their work, and he took it as kind of a given that the work of the IRS agents was surpassingly boring. And in a way, he chose the IRS precisely because their work was so incredibly boring. You know, he basically created these characters, each of whom sort of came up against the challenge of the extraordinary boredom of their job and either surmounted it or was crushed by it. So, for instance, there's one character in the novel who has a secret kind of mantra, a series of numbers he repeats to himself. And by repeating these numbers over and over, he achieves mindfulness. There's another character actually levitates. He rises off the ground when he's sort of in the moment, when he's fully in the moment working on the tax forms, you know, on the returns that we all send in.
Now, this writing this book, the book that has yet to come out that will be published in unfinished form, seemed to have tortured him in some way. He just had a tremendous amount of difficulty finishing it and even working on it. Why do you think this was so difficult?
I think there's a bunch of reasons why it was so difficult. One, he set himself an extremely hard task. Fiction can be any number of different things, as we all know, but to write fiction about boredom is really tricky. Then he had this monkey on his back. He had begun to believe that he had outgrown his style, that his style had become a cliché, that other people had appropriated it. Critics were waiting in the wings for him to trot out his style yet again, to sort of shoot him dead on the spot. So he was trying to write a book about boredom, which didn't use the style that he had kind of, I mean, it was the style that he had both made great and that had made him great.
But what's so striking about the story is that there were so many people out there who thought David Foster Wallace was the best writer of his generation. They would have loved to see more of what he had written in the past. They would have liked to see a new kind of infinite jest, and yet he himself seems to have rejected that earlier kind of writing that had made him famous.
I think that that's a very common problem for artists. You know, they always want you to play Freebird again. You know, he was done. He was moving on. He had to find a new style. I think also David was incredibly self-critical. He was really a guy who wasn't satisfied with any of his work. I mean, there were moments when he knew that he'd done pretty good work, but he was never truly satisfied. And so I think it was really painful for him to imagine that he would be writing the same way at 45 as he had been writing when he was 25.
There was one area of his writing that didn't seem to cause much angst, and that was his nonfiction. And a lot of people know David Foster Wallace mainly through his essays. For instance, A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again, which was about his experience on a luxury cruise. And I guess I'm curious, were the essays a way for him to escape the demands of fiction?
You know, I think he began his nonfiction writing, I remember seeing this in the letter that he'd written to somebody. He began his nonfiction writing really just to make money in the early 90s when he was in the midst of this, you know, endless slog through Infinite Jest, and he really didn't have any other income. And he grew to like it. I mean, he did. He grew to really like writing nonfiction. The piece that you referred to, which is the piece on the cruise ship called A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again. And this is the story of David who goes on something like a Carnival Princess cruise line around the Caribbean. It was the perfect place for him to sort of show us that this country is at once over-entertained and sad, because, you know, there's no place that's more over-entertaining and sadder than a cruise ship. And, you know, he does an amazing job with it. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Now, David Foster Wallace obviously suffered from crippling depression. He apparently was not on medication by the time he died. I mean, that he didn't have the right medication, and it can be a bad idea to play psychiatrist, but let me do that for a moment. Do you think one reason he committed suicide was because he was in a state of despair about his own writing?
I do. I think that what happened is a little less direct than that, though. I think that he was very upset with his inability to get out of his old style. And for that reason, he went off of an antidepressant he'd been taking basically for his entire writing career called Nardole, which made him feel distanced from the world. He wasn't really sure what he was seeing was what was happening, and he just wasn't feeling that connected. So he went off of Nardole also because it's a hard drug to tolerate and because it's the kind of drug that, you know, if you tell someone you've been on Nardole for 20 years, like, people go, really? You know, that's supposed to be a short-term drug. So he probably had to endure that for years. But I think that, you know, he was a writer in his bones. I mean, that's what he lived to do. And I think that once he made the decision to go off Nardole, he never really stabilized again. I mean, he had some good periods. He went off Nardole about a year before he committed suicide. During that period, that last year, you know, he didn't really approach the novel. I don't think he did any work on the novel during that time. And so it's not as if, I don't believe, you know, on Tuesday he looked at the manuscript and decided that he was never going to finish it. So on Thursday, you know, he made the decision to kill himself. I don't think it happened that way. I think that also once he went off the Nardole, he was in such extraordinary pain. Depression for David was not, and he wrote this, I mean, it was not, you know, the sort of wistful, I can't get out of bed today depression, or even, you know, profound sadness, a very aggressive kind of depression. It was really almost like his body was under physical attack. The thing I'm not saying is that, you know, the week before he killed himself, he was thinking about how badly the novel had come out. I don't think he had enough. I think he was too busy trying to survive at that point. That would be my guess, because the depression was so stunningly intense and so brutal physically to him. I mean, it was really more like being beaten constantly, you know, in every atom of his body, rather than what most of us probably think of as depression, even severe depression. You know, if you can ask the question another way, you say, well, if The Pale King had been going along well, would David Foster Wallace be alive today? And my strong belief is yes.
D.T. Max wrote the article, The Unfinished, David Foster Wallace Struggles to Surpass Infinite Jest, for The New Yorker magazine. He's at work on a new biography of David Foster Wallace.